Hallelujah. Today's scripture reading is two places. The first one is Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 to 14. Second one is Luke chapter 13, verse 23 to 25. I'd like to read first one, the Matthew chapter 7, 13 to 14. Enter by the low, by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow, that leads to life, and few are those who find it. And second one is Luke chapter 13, verse 23 to 25. And someone said to him, Lord, are there just a few who are being saved? And he said to them, strive to enter by the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Once the head of the house get up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock on the door, saying, Lord, open up to us. Then he will answer and say to you, I do not know where you are from. This is the word of God. Today's title is Enter Through the Narrow Gate. Enter Through the Narrow Gate. The title of today's passage, Enter Through the Narrow Gate, appears in two places in the Bible as I read. The first one is the Matthew chapter 7, which corresponds to the early part of Jesus' public ministry. In particular, today's passage is found at the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, which begins in Matthew chapter 5 and ends in the Matthew chapter 7. It is located at the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, which teaches us how should we live as Christians, what kind of character does God desire in Christians, what is the essence of the people of heavens. Second, during the final period of the Lord's public ministry, as he was on his way to Jerusalem, someone asked him, Lord, are there few are saved? You see the Luke chapter 13, verse 23. In response, the Lord answered that few are saved, saying, enter through the narrow door. However, while in the Korean translation use the same word for door, but the English translation is precisely the gate in the Matthew 7, and the Greek word pule, which refers to the gate of a city or temple, whereas the door in the Luke 13, chapter 13, is a Greek word is dura, which refers to the door of a house. This is because the householder closed the door in the subsequent verse. Clearly, the narrow gate can be understood as the gate leading to life, the gate leading to salvation, or the gate leading to the gate of heaven, as the Lord has spoken. However, after the Lord proclaimed this message in Matthew 7, when we look at the message in the Luke 13, which was spoken about 1 or 2 years later, it seems that not many people were entering through the narrow gate. Therefore, the Lord said in the Luke chapter 13, verse 24, God says, strive to enter by the narrow door. The use of the word strive here seems to indicate that the few were exerting themselves to enter through the narrow gate. The term strive in the Greek is agonizeste, means to compete or to fight in a contest to win prize, implying to give one's best effort. This term is used especially when fighting against sin. You can find that in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24, or when fighting the good fight of faith. You can find that in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. This is a solemn command and warning to make a life or death decision to enter through the narrow gate. Additionally, the Lord said in the Luke chapter 13, verse 24, many will seek to enter but will not be able to. This means that many people, knowing that the entering through the narrow gate is the way to salvation, have gathered before the narrow gate, but many will not be able to enter even though they try. Why were they unable to enter even though they had come to the narrow gate? The first, it is because they did not strive, and second, it is because they were those who sought incorrectly. Here the word the seek in the Greek is jetesushin. Jetesushin means to search. It does not mean to demand something from someone else, but rather to seek and strive for a solution through personal knowledge. In other words, entering the gate of salvation is not something that can be found through human effort. Therefore, that their efforts are all vain and they can never enter. The visible church can be this narrow gate. How many people come to church seeking salvation? How many listen to the word, participate in meeting, worship, serve, and give offerings? But does not the Bible warn us? It says that the final judgment will begin with the church. Let's read is the 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 to 18. For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God, and if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is with the difficulty that the righteous is saved, what will become of the godless man and the saint? Even those who have become righteous by believing in Jesus Christ are said to be barely saved. This shows how difficult it is to keep the faith. To live according to the word, above all, we must die. But we do not die. We are supposed to be crucified with Christ and become those who have died, yet we remain alive and speak and live according to our own thought. In the life of a believer, there is no pain or suffering in the struggle against sin. Instead, we simply put on appearance of faith that others can see. Look at the scribes and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. They are hypocrites, as the law said. They taught in the name of the Lord, performed miracles, and did good deeds, but they valued people's gaze and recognition more than the glory of the Lord. They loved the glory given by the human more than the glory given by God. So in the Jesus warned them in the John chapter 12 verse 43 and John chapter 5 44. I like to read John chapter 12 verse 43. For they loved the approval of man rather than the approval of God. They took pride in their Jewish heritage as a descendant of Abraham, observed the law, and believed that their religious privilege qualified them alone for salvation. They thought the gate to salvation was wide open before them. But such people did not seek salvation through faith, nor did they seek it by grace. Salvation is not achieved through any human effort, but only through faith in Jesus Christ, which established a right relationship with God. According to the Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, Apostle Paul said, "Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Amen. What is the narrow gate? The narrow gate that Jesus spoke of was a small gate next to the large, wide gate of the Jerusalem city were during the Jesus' time. At night, the wide gate was closed and the people had to use the small gate, which was barely wide enough for one person to pass through. This gate was not large enough for camels loaded with goods or large crowd to enter. At the Church of the Nativity, there is a door that illustrates the concept of this small, narrow door. This door is called the door of humility, and it is only just what, the 5 feet, less than 5 feet high, so one must bow their head and lower their body to enter. However, the narrow door that the Lord speaks of, it is the door of light, the door of salvation, and door to heavens. The Lord calls himself the door of the sheep. In John chapter 10, verse 7, Jesus therefore said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." The Lord is our shepherd, and we are the sheep who know him and follow him. You can find out the John chapter 10, verse 27. In Jesus' time, the gate of the sheep was a pen made of stone or thorn bushes with a single narrow entrance. In fact, there was no door at the entrance, and the shepherd lay down in front of it to guard the sheep. In other words, the shepherd himself was the gate, door. These gatekeepers protect the flock, led them to the pasture, and guard them from thieves, robbers, and wild animals. So Jesus say in the John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus said, "I'm the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pastures." It emphasized that there is only one door to salvation, and that is Jesus Christ. Amen. So Jesus said in the John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way and truth and life. No one comes to the Father but through me." It's Jesus' door to through the door to fathers. It emphasized that there is only one door to salvation. Let's look at the Act chapter 4, verse 12. "And there is a salvation in no one else, the Jesus, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men, by which we must be saved." Many Jews came to Jesus, heard his word, and learned the way to salvation, but they refused to believe in Jesus as their Savior and thus rejected salvation. Therefore, although they gathered before the narrow gate, not only could they not enter, but those who sought to enter were blocked by the scribe and the religious leaders. So Jesus Christ rebuked in the Matthew chapter 23, verse 13, "But woe to you, scribe and Pharisee hypocrites, because you shut off the kingdom of heaven from man, for you do not enter in yourself, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in." We are clearly those who have entered through the narrow gate. However, that is not the end of the story. Behind the narrow gate, there is not a wide road waiting for us, but a narrow road. Let's look at the Matthew chapter 7, verse 14. "For the gate is small and the way is narrow. The way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Here, the narrow Greek is a delibo, which means to torment and to oppress or to frustrate. Especially in the, according to the Colossians chapter 1 verse 24, in the, that the word use is like that, now I rejoice in my suffering for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, is a filling of that which is lacking in Christ's afflictions. The term the affliction is corresponded to affliction of Christ. In other words, walking the narrow path means participating in the Lord's afflictions, carrying our own cross and following the path that Lord walking the narrow path. This path is not one that many people walk together, but one that each person walk alone, following the Lord's path thoroughly. Let's look at the First Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his staff. He is pointing out that we must live a life of oppression caused by the suffering of truly carrying our own cross. Let's look at the Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wish to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Denying oneself must come first. True Christians are those who, after entering the world of salvation, begin the toil of life as new creations. This marks the beginning of a journey of life with a changed purpose. Before being in Christ, our purpose was ourselves or the world. But after being in Christ, our purpose in the life changed to Jesus, and our priority became to establish the kingdom of God and the right relationship with God. It is to live not according to our own will, but according to the will of the Father as the Lord's deed. Jesus is prayed in the Gethsemane before the cross. He said he prayed, yet not my will, but thine be done. Every day, I strive to live according to the Father's will, but my other self, my outer self, still remains within me, and I must be careful not to return to the old ways of the world. We must die daily and discipline ourselves with the word through prayer and word. Let's look at the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31. Apostle Paul said, I protest, brethren, by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. We must die daily on our cross. This is very difficult. We must torment on ourselves daily. We must cling to God daily through repentance and prayer. We must live a life that is not just words, but one that is lived out daily according to the world. This is a fighting against sin, even to the point of shedding blood. This is a winning the good fight. Living as a true new creation means walking the narrow path until we reach that kingdom. Let's read together in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. This is a very important verse. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. I like to read. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Amen. So that is why it is said that few are those who find it. That is why many who desire to enter cannot enter. Because we have not changed, many come to the narrow gate, enter through it, but fail to walk the narrow path to the end and reach the destination. Instead, this embarking midway. In fact, every time we encounter the word, are we not struck by how hypocritical we are and left feeling embarrassed? If we do not feel this, we are spiritually sick. Every time the word struck my heart, my face is revealed to be hypocritical and merely bubble, and when I see myself trapped in complacency and raginess, I should feel great distress and pain. What matters is now how much we have participated in church activities, but what we have done for the glory of God. What matters is how much we have struggled and changed to live according to the word. This is truly entering through the narrow gate and continuing to walk in narrow paths. There must not be a single person in our love for church who merely steps onto the church grounds and leaves. However, this narrow path is the path that the Lord had prepared for us all to learn to the end. Because that path is the only path that leads to the Lord, and at the end of the path is the crown of life from the Lord. We must all look only to the path God has prepared, and by completing our race of faith through prayer and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we must all reach the Father. I'd like to read for you 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judges, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Amen. The Jesus said to us, "Is I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one come to Father but through me, the door." Now this door is not always open. There is a time when it will be closed. Now this is a door is not always open. There is a time when it will be closed. Let's look at the Luke chapter 13, verse 25. Once the head of the house get up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock on the door, saying, "Lord, open up to us," then he will answer and say to you, "I do not know where you are from." There is a time when God will shut the door. Therefore, we must not be careless and indulgent before the door, wasting our time eating and drinking with guests and onlookers. Therefore, we must be alert, we must be vigilant, we must be jealous, we must be self-controlled, before the door is closed, we must cling to the Father, ask Him to help us live according to His will. This is what it means to strive. In the name of the Lord, I pray that no one will be left behind in this endeavor. Let us pray together.